The following is the business meeting for the 1991 National Radio Club Convention held on August 31st, 1991. The speaker for this business meeting is Mike Nitter, General Manager of the National Radio Club.
Okay, first off, for those that got the logbook, for future logbook buyers, we've got some pages that got to make some changes. Kind of make mental note of this, or you can see us later and then we'll give you the information again. On page 23, the heading should be 650 instead of 570, I think it said.
Yeah. Hey, close enough. What do you want for 50?
Page 24 should be 660 and page 25 should be 670. So those three frequencies are missing on the headers, so correct them, and we're going to have to go back and see why the computer didn't put the headers in the right spot. But minor thing, well, all the other copies obviously will get corrected when we get it reprinted.
Product will be recalled, or?
No, you just make the manual correction, unless it's a page thing. So.
Manually repaired.
Yeah, manually repair. So we'll make the correction before too many of them get out by replacing those pages, just so everybody knows about that. But if you need any information, just come up and see Ken or myself. We'll get you that current stuff.
That's the only change?
As far as we know, as far as the headers go, anything major. As far as the formats, networks, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, that changes as the days go by. Yeah. I was going to say about the logbook. Or something else I'm going to mention on the logbook. Well, whatever it is, I'm sure I'll think of it later. Anyway, welcome to the convention for those that first showed up this afternoon. I'm sure everybody's had a chance to talk with everybody. If not, well, you got 2 days to do it in. I'm your boss, by the way, or semi-boss. My name's Mike Nitter. I play general manager. We've got all the other three managers here. Paul Swearingen is your DX News editor. He manages the print side of the house for the magazine. Ken Chatterton is the manager for publications. Not responsible for typos, though, in the publication.
I always tell what he gives me.
And, of course, Fred Volby over here is the manager for the DX Audio Service. And those that get that obviously know who he is. Basically, our business meeting is nothing more than for you people to give me feedback to make improvements into the club itself. As far as the status of the club or how we're doing, we're still sending out lots of samples from requests from you guys that have talked to people on a one-to-one. That seems to be our biggest inquiry source for DX News or the audio service is when you people go out and talk to somebody or you leave DX News copies at a radio station or at a dentist's office or at a library or whatever the case is. That really helps us as a club out. If you need copies for DX News, just drop a line to Paul. He can get them for you. If you need some copies, if you happen to be going to a ham convention or to a, you know, anything that's going to, or you can leave a couple of copies legally without getting into trouble, drop Paul a line a couple weeks prior so he can get them to you. Don't call him up on Thursday seeing him you need them for Friday night. That's a little bit too quick. We can't get them there normally that quick. But if you know of some event coming up that you're going to be at, that you can throw a couple of things on a table, like hamventions, there's always a table laying around somewhere that you can throw all sorts of freebies at. By all means, you know, drop a line to Paul. Fred has got some sample copies of DX Audio Service. We can do a few of those. Those are a little bit tougher, a little bit more expensive to play with, but we can normally round up a couple of them if it's a good, solid event and that we can get some new subscribers to. Let's see, also on the status of the DX Audio Service is doing great. We'll be getting a new copier, or duplicator, I should say, for that. So those that have been receiving blank tapes because of the duplicator, that'll soon be rectified here in another month or so. So we'll be getting some new equipment. The DX News side of the house, of course, there's always been changes going on continuously in that, with more coming down the road. So, if you guys... Total, I think, is around 740 between both the audio service and that. We can never get that 750 mark. We get to it, and we'll fall back off of it. So it's getting to stay above 750 seems to be the number one goal right now, but it's one of them steps on a ladder that always seems to be hard to get up to. So. But we're trying. Financially, we're doing pretty well. I don't see, I went over the records here a few weeks ago, I don't see any rate changes coming up unless something happens, if printing were to all of a sudden double, postage goes up again, and all that sort of stuff. So the 1 cent charge, that might go up to 30 cents, shouldn't affect us any. So you shouldn't see any change yet in the DX News. We'll still stay at the current price. Same thing with the audio service. We're still holding our own on that. What keeps those costs down, obviously, is when you guys buy the products. Because the more products that are bought, obviously, some of that money is used to for research and development, for new products, to buy more products, but also help to subsidize the DX News and the audio service. So keep that in mind, even like for tonight now with the auction, that that money goes back into the general fund to help support and keep the DX News costs down and the DX audio service costs down. Because obviously that's my goal, is to try to keep the cost to you people as low as possible, so that obviously that's one less dollar you got to spend on a piece of paper or a piece of tape, and you can use that money for something else. So, but we're trying everything we can. If there's, if you guys have suggestions out there, not necessarily tonight or today or tomorrow, but in weeks from now or next month or something, you guys got a suggestion that might help us curb the cost, or you guys have an idea that you want to see in DX News or on the audio service, by all means, let us know. We look at each suggestion that's given. Everything passes in front of myself and our little ARPE group to look at. We meet about once a month, sometimes twice a month, to go over all the suggestions that are brought up. And we then forward them on to Paul, or if the idea came up through Paul or came up through Fred, we hash them out and look at all the variables on it. And sometimes we get a lot of good suggestions. Yeah?
Is there a reason you went from stapling it to taping it?
That had to do with the post office regulations for the Zip Plus 4. Matter of fact, how many people have noticed on the back cover where your address label is, the sprayed on, or dot matrixed on, or however they do that, the coating by the Zip Plus 4, that little line, little bar graph thing?
Sometimes.
Okay. So we're...
I don't think you do it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be done. The reason why we're taping it up is to meet the latest requirement by the post office to meet the Zip Plus 4 rules that they create out of nowhere, it seems. And one of them was that we had to tape up the magazine, which takes up more time, and to get this coating, which means it gets faster delivery. Well, everybody that I've talked to have said that every once in a great while, like once every five issues, they see that barcode, and the other ones haven't seen it. Some towns and some people haven't seen any barcoding ever on an issue. So, again, we're going to have to get back with the post office, find out if we're paying for this service, why ain't we getting it? So, supposedly, now, another question on DX News, do you people get your magazines on the same day constantly during the weekly season, or does it vary? Yeah, see, and that's supposed to be a constant. If, for instance, the majority of the time, supposedly 80% of the time, it should always arrive on, let's like say, a Monday or Tuesday. If you always get it on a Tuesday, that should be the majority of the times. But from what I've been able to get the feedback from you people, it varies from a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's never two Tuesdays in a row type deal. So again, they're not doing their Zip Plus 4 routing the way they're supposed to. And it's eating up our time and energy to put that tape on for. And, of course, we get the complaints. You guys are always complaining that this tape is a pain in the butt, or it shows up ripped, or, you know, because of the tape and that. So, and again, that's the problem. Speaking of ripped or damaged, if you get a damaged DX News, let Paul know right away, because we need to know that information quick. If the page is just ripped, obviously that information we don't really, you know, if you got a page missing and the DX News is destroyed, obviously let him know so he can get you a replacement copy. There's no charge for replaced damaged copies. DX Audio Service, let us know right away when the tapes are destroyed. Don't be calling us 3 months later to say that, oh, by the way, my April issue is no longer any good. Can you send me a new one?
Also send the tape back.
Yeah, and we also need the tape back because we can, Fred has got a way to tell if it's our duplicator acting up, if it's the postal service, if it was the tape, you know, just fell apart because a rivet let go on the tape case or whatever the case is. So we need to know that information. So we do need the tapes back. The best way to do is, if in doubt, send the tape back. And allow us about anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks to get your replacement tape back. Because depending on when you call, it depends on where Fred is at in the middle of the next tape session. If he's getting ready to print up the next issue, obviously he doesn't have time to, you know, create the back issue to get it out to you right away. So it may be a couple weeks. You may end up getting two issues coming in at the same time. One more thing on the audio service is, because your tapes are sent in the white boxes, they're very easily identified in a post office system as a cassette tape. We've had a lot of, and not to badmouth the post office because they've been doing an excellent job, but we've had a few tapes lifted by the employees of the post office, and they use them for a while and then send them on. And there's been a few postal employees that are now unemployed because of that reason. And if we can get a pattern going, we're working on one right now, if we can get a pattern going in anybody else's area, you got to let us know that information. You know, if you've got tapes that all of a sudden that have been appearing for months at the same time, you know, you guys know when your tapes are supposed to show up. If all of a sudden now they're 2 weeks late all the time and you find out you've got a new postal carrier, let us know. Because then we can notify the postal inspectors, and they love eating up these people. So, because that's all they eat for meals, is they need to find these people out. So, and we have found centers. St. Louis Center had a problem for a while. We've got them straight on the DX News a few years back. We've had trouble with the Lima to the next stop. I can't think of the city right now. I think it's Cleveland or Cincinnati or someplace stop. All of a sudden, that magically cleaned itself up after we brought it to their attention. So it does work. It does, you know, we can correct the problems. But the DX News is lately, we haven't had that many. We still get our, 10 or so a month?
Not that many.
Less now? Okay.
Since the tape went on. Yeah. That's what the tape is supposed to do, is to prevent the
damage. Yeah.
Mike, if I can say something, I work for the post office, and I can speak for this a little bit. First of all, I'm surprised that they even try to do DX News with Z+4. That high-speed equipment, I've seen mail literally explode. If those machines jam and they're running at 40,000 pieces an hour, I've seen mail just, it looks like an explosion when it hits. And DX News being open the way it is, you're going to get some torn up copies this way.
Right.
No way around.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Do you know the reason why we're not getting the spraying?
No, I can understand. If one copy of an issue is barcoded, all of it should be.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would run part of it unless... I can understand why they might not run a full issue occasionally, but if some copies are, all of them should be barcoded. That I can't understand.
Yeah.
Mine never is in Topeka, which makes me think that maybe they sent it to Kansas City.
It should be barcoded to where it originates. Where do you mail it?
Topeka.
That's where it should be. Right. Where is the section? Well, I don't know which MSC that is or what sectional center.
Yeah, I don't either. It's whichever
one, whichever one it is, they should the barcode should be applied right there.
Yeah, I know since January I've had two sprayed for issues coming out to Cambridge, and the rest haven't.
To mind, to tell you the truth, yeah. I'll start looking at it at home, and I'll let you know when I find out.
Yeah, because that's...
It's there sometimes, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah. So that's, again, one of the things that helps us improve the service, because obviously those guys are definitely concerned about it, because...
My last one, yeah. No barcode, it was sliced open.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tape wasn't... had no purpose.
Okay.
Happened by accident. Yeah.
We've gotten over the years, you know, obviously with all the pieces of mail that go through, we've never had anything really show up lost. So that I got to admit, for all the mail that them guys handle, it does do a pretty good job. And DX or the audio service, probably count on one hand over the years how many have actually been destroyed in the post office. Our main thing is them being lifted. But we're correcting that problem. Every company's got that problem, so it's not just highlighting them guys. So.
And let me point out something on DX Audio Service, too. One of the tip-offs to whether or not somebody is playing the tape and, you know, catching it before it gets to you is the fact that the tape is not always rewound at the beginning. That happened once, at least. Somebody reported that they had a tape that arrived to them that, you know, was like three-quarters of the way inside. Well, our machine backs everything up to the beginning of it, so it's impossible for it not to rewind.
Any other questions before okay. Main thing, again, is, you know, your feedback. I'll be going around, well, today's just about gone, but I've talked to a couple of you guys already, and tomorrow, and we'll be here for a little bit of Monday, I think, last I heard. Basically what I'm looking for is whatever feedback you guys want to give me, is this is the time, obviously, to we can talk one-to-one. A lot easier doing it this way than over the phone or in mail. So if you guys got comments or stuff, that's what we're here for. And if you got stuff for Paul or stuff for Fred, by all means, you know, let us know. Mike?
Yeah, hi. I enjoy the DX Audio Service so much. It's like a day without sunshine if I don't receive it. Have you ever considered getting a toll-free number for the musings for members?
We did look. Let's see. We looked into it for the order desk. But right now, that cost is still a little bit out of our range. We got other equipment yet to buy before we go into a number for ordering desk. But speaking of ordering desk, oh, thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot. We're going to set up, and you'll see it'll be on the audio service and in the DX News. We're going to set up for those that order by credit card to the order number. A lot of you guys are very leery about giving your number to a machine. Nobody hears the machine except myself and Sue. The machine isn't heard anywhere else because the speaker don't work very well. So it's just turn it up very loud and it gets all mumbled. But what we're going to come up with, and we've had some people suggest it, and I think it's a good idea, and my retired guys that we have a meeting with have said, too, that perhaps we need to come up with some sort of a system where you guys can call in, just leave your name, a PIN number, in a sense, personal ID number, and items you want. That's it. 30 seconds on the phone, you're out of there, and we can fill your order off the information that we've got, and your order's on the way. It'll help process the information a lot quicker, and it's a lot of cases we'll run into a problem where someone will leave their you know, one of you guys that I know will call, or I'll think I recognize the voice, but I'm not sure, and that's where I'll read back the address to you guys to see if you can give me the rest of the address, and then I'll start with the phone number or give you the rest of the digits, stuff like this, so we can verify. So I think just, again, keep honest people honest and the whole bit, is we'll come up with a system where on the names that we've got, we'll send out a letter to you guys. We'll each get an individual letter so we can get your written permission. And of the information we show on hand, your Visa card, MasterCard, whatever we've got, plus we'll leave in some blanks where you can fill in some more data. But what we'll have then for the system is you can call the order number, leave a name, this identification number that we know it's you, and then the items you want to order, and you can be in and out of that phone call in less than a minute. And I've talked to some people about it. That I've talked to on the phone over the last few days, and they thought it was a pretty good idea. So that's what we'll set up. Because I know a lot of you guys, you call, you want to order something, but then you say, well, maybe I'll have to write it in, and even you guys are a little leery about even sending it in the mail, which I can understand. So, because putting out your credit card numbers out to the world is a little, without being face to face, is a little tricky. So what we'll do is we'll establish a system just like, you know, a bank card is set up and all this stuff. And we'll go that route. You know, just like when you order things from a computer catalog or something, they usually already got that information all there. You just give them your ID number, and it's all set up, and they don't have to ask you anything. You're on your way. So that's what we can set that up, too. So again, it's just to make it more convenient and easier for you guys to order the products. Any complaints on any of the orders, on the ordering time or filling of the orders, or if everything you guys have ordered over the last year or so have been filled out okay, or have you had any problems? Have they been corrected, you know, speedily enough?
Are there any crazy Ken Gisettes left?
Yeah, sure are. Yep, and I don't know what the ordering information is right offhand, but yeah, there's, yeah. Yeah, all the products that you see that we just special advertise for one or two or three issues of DX News, they are available from that point on, in most cases, unless we say that we're no longer, you know, it's out of print or out of stock forever. But anything that's out there, whether it's the audio service tape specials that we'll be coming up with, the one we did with this After Dark cassette, that went over really extremely well. There's a lot of people that I was amazed at that ordered it. I don't know where they're finding the machines to run it on, but it was out there and they bought it. So yeah, you can order that tape from now and forever. So it's out there.
What's an After Dark cassette?
Well, it's the name that Fred gave that all it is interviews and pieces of stuff of that couldn't fit all on an audio service on the time segments that are allotted
it's
for each
miscellaneous
column.
Miscellaneous material that we come up with from time to time that just because of the length of material we can't put it on the normal DX audio service. So one night I was sitting there about 11 o'clock, hence after dark, and just decided, well, I'm going to put this on tape. We just did it as an experiment, and my personal feeling was it was not going to fly because it's a cassette which is recorded at half the speed of a normal cassette. Quality-wise, it doesn't sound that good, and I was very leery whether I work, and sales were excellent on it. I think, though, what we might end up doing is raising the price of the After Dark up higher and going at a regular cassette speed so everyone has access to it, just because it's
like a one-shot item.
Yeah, it comes out when I just got enough material. Basically, I've got a box that, you know, put this stuff in. This is like, you know, well, we'll run it when we have time.
Like a 13th issue on a 12-month.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Now, what we're going to be doing, like on the convention tapes that we're recording tonight and everything, we're going to have a little 4-cassette book that can be purchased, and I'll have all the things we covered at seminars today, and then this meeting, as well as the auction and stuff. Those books will also be available through publications if you want to just buy, you know, these little they're vinyl plastic, they'll hold 4 cassettes, you can stick them in there and use them that way. And we're also going to be coming up with cassette shells, just plastic shells you can drop a cassette in.
Yeah, if you've never heard one of the monthly audio service tapes, drop Ken $3 and he'll send you a sample tape, and they're pretty impressive. A lot of work goes in. All the whole crew of the audio service tape do one heck of a job every month getting that thing out.
Is it just a raw reading of DX News, or
No. It's hard to describe. Yeah, how do you describe it, really? I mean, you got to hear it.
It basically starts out with what we call front page, which is just the, you know, general news and notes of what's going on. Then kick it over to Jerry, and Jerry does AM switch. It's basically same as what you'd see in DX News. Then John Bowker does a thing called Travelog, which it goes by frequency, and so all the top of the hour IDs, these recorded on a certain frequency. I think right now we're up to 850. Yeah.
Which is the number one column request on audio service people.
Yeah. And then we also have Laura McCusker does radio ratings. Phil Wayne does Market Scope, where he goes into, has somebody take a certain market, and you hear air checks of like all the different stations in that market just to get an idea of what's going on. John does Historical Moments, which is basically a look at history, a particular date in history. To be honest with you, it just depends what happens to pop up. And sometimes some issues get very bizarre just because everyone just happens to be in a silly mood. And we'll run, you know, 10 or 15 old jingles and
Howard Stern segments?
No.
Not that gross.
Yeah,
Stephen Gary. Roll call.
Stephen
Gary. Yeah, oh, and also the way we handle the musings from the members is I've got a machine on a dedicated line, sits there 24 hours a day, and anyone can call it up and leave a muse. And then we go through and just put those back to back as far as musings from members.
Plus the ones in the mail. Yeah.
No, you usually don't read the ones in the print column just because it takes so much time to do it. Right now, it's probably one of the hardest things to, as far as putting together the audio services. There's literally too much material to go into one issue, and it's always been, you know, that's why we're experimenting around with the slow speed cassettes, just to see if it works. It works for the majority of the blind people because they have the machines that are capable of reproducing them, but the average guy does not have 15/16 IPS cassette recorder. So we could easily put together two cassettes a month just based on the material.
How long is each cassette?
C90 cassettes.
Right, and they're not cheapy Kmart brand cassettes. They are expensive cassettes.
Let me explain that to you in case you're interested in buying some of the Crazy Ken cassettes that he has. What I do is I, through connections I've made through broadcasting and such, I contract with a company which special loads the tapes. And they're white generic shells, and then they put their tape in and wind them to our specifications. And there's an agreement that if for some reason I get a bad run of them or anything, they take them back, no questions asked. And I can honestly say out of, since we've been doing, 2 years we've been doing it with this manufacturer, and I think we've only had three cassettes out of the whole maybe 4,000 we've purchased that have had to be returned because of defect.
So each issue is 90 minutes long?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's... Yeah, you got to hear it to really appreciate it. They're very interesting tapes. And believe it or not, when we started the service in April of 85, which was a bad month to pick after we found out, but the service was originally started for the blind people to give them something, and it turns out that it's 60% of the subscribership is sighted and use it for drive time, and only 40% are actually blind and use it. And they use it in, and the majority of them use it in what's called little roundhouse meetings. They'll go to, every Wednesday they meet at the library, and then they play it with, everybody has a subscription to a different audio magazine, and they all play their tapes at the library, and then we get inquiries from all these other non-subscribers in the sense that know more about the audio service than we do. But it's basically it's once you hear it, it goes over. What's the service that folded? And I think it was because of us.
Dialogue Magazine.
They a very monologue, put you to sleep tape program, and I got a feeling we kind of helped put them guys into the grave because once they heard our production, they just and that was it, and off we went running. For the longest time, for at least the first 4 years, we couldn't get a door into any of the blind organizations. They just thought we were fly-by-night, rob the blind people, and leave. And it's taken us, just in the last year or two, to actually, with the help of all our blind DX audio service people, to pound on the other side of the door and say, hey, look, these guys are for real. We're here to stay. And we're finally now getting some returns back. Off of the time and energy we put into getting these people to service.
That's the hardest part we're having with the DX Audio Service is getting the PR. Just about every new person we've taken on has not been cited has made the accolade about how well they like it and they wish they knew about it before. For some reason, we just have a dickens of a time getting any mentions on like Glenn Hauser's program or on different shortwave DX programs or even in print. I don't know what it is. They just basically, circular file our press releases or whatever. But. Yeah.
Hauser might consider you competition.
Pardon me?
Hauser might consider you competition because isn't he sort of in the
industry himself? I don't know. I don't know.
That's not the right word.
I think the biggest thing is once they hear, when Fred sends them the tape and they hear the high quality of the production, and these guys have been for years. I personally think that they're ripping off the blind people because of the fact that this monologue tape you listen to puts you to sleep. There's no energy whatsoever put. It's like the guy's doing this because he has to. There's no energy put into these tapes. And our tape comes along and it's lively and all full of life and everybody just grabs onto it. And the blind groups that put out these cassette tapes are just, I don't want to improve my service, so I ain't going to let these people even hear what it sounds like. The only one we've gotten that we send, I can't think of his
Playback
name. Playback. Those guys, it took a few years to keep knocking on his door, and with the help of a bunch of the blind audio service guys that are members of that magazine, they just kept howling at them, and finally the guy said, all right, Ed Potter, that's his name, he said, all right, we'll listen to it, we'll see. I mean, he wouldn't even
even listen to the tape. They thought we were ripping them off. And now all of a sudden, he's one of our best buddies in the world. So he think, and it's not competition. And I honestly think he's improved. Now, those that get Ed Potter's production, I'll bet you've noticed some increase in his quality of the programming. Because the last tape I heard compared to the first one I heard, it's definitely got a little bit more life into it.
And now they have an action line, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of copycatting.
Playback is primarily a magazine. I, for lack of a better description, he has a lot of news articles on technology. Like, you know, if you're looking for a nice watch with a rooster that crows at the top of the hour, here's where you go to get this. Yeah. If you're looking for a cassette recorder, he does, you know, reviews on equipment and such. If you're looking for products, if you're trying to get information, it's probably the best source of every magazine I've heard. He's very down to earth, and he gives me the impression of the type of person that would not necessarily steer you wrong. If the product's no good, he says it's no good. If he likes it, he says so. And it doesn't seem to be, he doesn't seem to be swayed by any manufacturers or any comments from distributors.
For Chris.
I had read earlier that some copies of the 50th anniversary book and the Night Pattern book had turned up. Are there any copies still left?
Yeah, we did. He went through some more boxes. What happened is Ken moved stuff from one room to another, and when we repacked some of the stuff and he moved it, well, when you open up the box and you start digging through it, it all looks like logbooks. So you think the whole box is logbooks. Well, now he gets to the bottom of the box and finds out there are 50th anniversary books on the bottom. So yes, we do have 50th anniversary books, and I think we got probably about half a box maybe left or so now we've gathered up. The Night Pattern book, and I'll mention that now while I'm thinking of it. The old one is still the 1983, I guess. I thought it was 1980. But 1983 version is still out there. We still have enough to start many firewood fireplaces with. We will be coming out perhaps at Christmas time with a brand new book, Night Pattern book. What we need is if you've got coverage maps, any of them, we'll take anything now, even the advertising coverage maps, which aren't accurate, but better than nothing. If you've got them, get us copies of them, or, you know, if you got two of the item or something, send us one. The address is in the last issue of DX News. Send it to Fred, and not this Fred, but Fred Tankersley, I think is his name. I think it's how it's pronounced. He's down in Arizona or New Mexico, one of the two states. He's got all the information from the current books and some coverage map stuff that I've sent him and some of the other people have sent to him in the machine now, and it's ready to go, but we'll need some more, obviously, to make it current. So the first book, obviously, isn't going to have all the new stuff in it because I think once, just like the logbook, once you get it out and you get it in your hand, you say, well, this is wrong or this needs correction. But at least it's better than the 1983 edition. It'll be current. So we're looking for a target day, hopefully, if everything goes right, of around Christmas time, plus or minus a few months. Yeah, Mike.
Okay, hopefully when I get my voice back, I'm going to do a market scope. Who do I send it to?
That goes to Phil Wayne.
Okay.
And if you listen on the last tape, I think it's either this last one or the one before, he had his address on. He has since moved. And he's still in Toledo, Ohio, just has a change of address in Toledo. But you need to send it to him. Of course, the number one thing you got to be kind of concerned about is you got all the stations. That's one of the biggest beefs on Market Scope. Right. Unfortunately, there seems to be a misconception that people think that Phil goes to the town and sits down and air checks all the stations.
Right.
But you need to make sure that you have all the stations covered.
Oh,
or at least mention, you know, like, well, there's three PBS affiliates, and here they are, and they all do the same thing, or whatever.
You'll be getting all the stations, including the pirate stations.
Question on that, please.
Yes.
All the stations, in Mike's case, in Miami, or do you want the one in Miami Beach, or do you want the one in Homestead?
What would you consider? Well,
depends on what Mike wants to put together.
Yeah.
But if he includes the suburbs, for instance, then he should include all the stations in the suburb. If he includes just this, like Chicago, that incident that started, Yeah. If you do Chicago and you're only doing Chicago proper, then just do Chicago. If you're going to do the suburbs that identify with Chicago, then at least mention them on the tape. You don't have to have air checks from them because you may not be able to hear them all, but at least mention the call letters on the thing. Otherwise, Phil's got to fill that in.
Yeah, that's, the biggest problem. If you can't hear it, then you can't air check it, obviously.
Okay, you'll be getting everything.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's great, Mike.
That's you know, even if it's a little staticky, it always helps because, I mean, for the most part, it was started you know, so people could understand like what a certain town sounds like radio-wise. So, you know, if you can get to at least, I would say go by what they call the market ADI, which is, you know, what's the market sound like itself. And if you have a signal that blows in from 50 miles away, but it's a city-grade signal, I'd include it, just because that's what people listen to.
Okay, plus you'll be getting the airport station, too.
That's fine.
No problem. No problem. Any other questions? Yeah, Mike.
Okay, John, you've been I have a good friend of mine from the Cincinnati area. What is the name of that book you were reading about WLW?
It's called WLW. Did I go too fast? it's written by the general manager whose name escapes me. Potter, is that his name? I have it in my motorhome right outside. I can look it up for you.
I'd love to get a copy of it.
I wish I could give you a copy. I don't know where to get one. Another one, I hope. But you could write to WLW. I'll give you the particulars.
Okay.
Ernie.
Laura McCusker asked me to give all of you her best regards and said she's sorry she couldn't get here to this convention. She hopes to make next year's. I saw her when I was on vacation.
Speaking of next year.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I forgot to call Rick. He said I was supposed to call him at 5 o'clock Eastern time, and it just dawned on me that my watch is not on the right time zone, but we'll have to see if we can get a hold of him. Rick Dowell put in a request for, I don't even know what city it was now. Yeah, it's somewhere in one of the...
Quad cities.
Davenport? Okay. Yeah, he told me on the phone a few days ago, and I don't remember. And we'll probably...
Davenport and the Malines and Rock Island. You know, I went to the IRCA convention there. It was in the summer of August of 82 there.
Okay. Yeah, it'll probably be in that same area as far as I know. I don't know the exact city, but unless we get, Rick asked me 2 years ago if he could do it out there for next year, and or for 92 rather. And as far as I know, unless there's been some late-minute changes, but we'll have to get with Rick and see it and look for the information in the upcoming or next DX News or on the audio service tape. But right now, it looks like it'll be somewhere in the Midwest, I guess is the best way to...
How about Miami?
State of Iowa.
Miami?
Yes.
Miami, Missouri.
Miami, Florida.
Miami, Oklahoma.
Miami, Oklahoma. Oh, we'll consider all sites, even those that haven't even been brought up.
Moves too far away.
Yeah, Paul. Oh, go ahead. All right.
Did you mention Sardinia?
Oh, yes. The 11 o'clock. The quiz... was generated out of his head, Paul Mount, will be at 11 o'clock tomorrow in one of these two rooms. And so we've got enough copies for everybody.
What is the prize, anyway?
And I don't know. We'll think of something between now and then.
The record should show Paul Mount is not eligible.
That's true. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the quiz backer proof, so you have a good shot.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah. Well, the winner gets
the rubber stamps for first place and another one for second.
There you go. We've got some, Ken just, crazy Ken. We've got some NRC logo rubber stamps that he happened to bring along. Matter of fact, I just happen to have. Happen to have one in my pocket. Actually, I got both of them in my pocket. And we'll give this out as first and second prize.
No coffee cups?
So you can stamp on everything you want. Oh, we've got to bring them this year.
No coffee cups?
Actually, we do have, for the convention goers, we've got, there's some assortment of items. There's some in that box, a little freebies we'll be handing out later. And we've got, what size are those, Bill? The 10-ounce, 11-ounce, something like that, coffee mugs that will be given out to everybody. And before I forget, I almost was going to do this in the beginning, forgot. Mr. Bill here and his wife and his daughter did an excellent job of getting this thing all together. A round of applause for these guys. And he said for 93, 94, and 95, no problem. Well, that's how you put it. I see. Okay.
Okay.
I heard that.
Yep. We appreciate all your help.
No problem.
A lot of behind the scenes stuff that's done that you people obviously don't see, and sometimes I wonder if I even appreciate it for all the work that's put in. People got to remember that everybody that works on these columns, whether you send in an article, send in some station changes, whatever, we're all volunteers. Nobody gets a cent. But basically what we've done is, in my way of thought, is that it's like a fire department. If it's a volunteer fire department, there's a fire. You don't just sit there and say, well, yeah, I'm a fireman, but I don't feel like going tonight. You do get on your gear and you go. And the same thing with you people, from the columnists to the managers, you guys just sending in a format change that you happen to hear. It's greatly appreciated. I figure that if you sat down and took the time to write the information out and put a stamp on there and send it or lift up that phone and call, by all means, you guys are dedicated NRCers. And that's what we greatly appreciate it, even though it sometimes it don't look like it. But we appreciate all your efforts on both the criticism as well as the useful information, and again, everything that you guys say and write about is useful, whether it's something that you don't like or it's something about poor service or something that's that you appreciate, whether it's the excellent job that John and Fred and the DX Audio Service crew is doing. All those comments are greatly appreciated, and the behind the scenes stuff done by Japers, all the spouses of the main managers and column editors and all that stuff, they have to put up with all the stuff. And the spouses of all you DXers out there is a task, too, that we greatly appreciate. That I don't think anybody really understands it, but it's all there, right? Mm. Anything for...
Thank you, too, Mike.
No.
And sir.
We just do what you people give to us. Ken?
There's one thing I might bring to your attention. If you order by mail and you live in New York State, you do have to pay the sales tax now. There's no way we can dodge it. But if you live in New York and order by credit card, Mike, that division of the club does not have to charge the sales tax because it's from the different state. If you live in Wisconsin, an order by credit card, you have to pay their sales tax. If you order from Wisconsin through me, I don't have to charge one. Now keep that in mind if you can duck the taxes.
Vanderbilt on 94.
On the, when you send us material, whether it's for the audio service or DX News, we'll need to have the copyright, if it's something that's coming out of something that somebody's previously written, we need to have their permission. If it's something you've done off of an air check of sorts and you don't hear it played, it's because it didn't meet the non-copyright or it wasn't approved to be us usable versus the copyright holder of the item. We've had some stuff sent that we could have used that came from the BBC, and obviously they're pretty tight on their copyright stuff. So watch where you get the stuff from. And disguising it by retyping it doesn't make it okay. We got to have the permission from the original writer of the material. So keep that in mind, whether you send stuff to Paul, to myself, to Fred, whatever.
just keep that in mind that the stuff has to be cleared, because obviously, you know, the guy that went through all the effort of putting it together in the first place, you know, needs to get the credit. So make sure you guys let us know. Newspaper clippings, let us know on where the article came from. If it's something special out of, like when you type up something, obviously if you didn't dream it up out of your head and you got it from some other place, mention it. You don't have to mention your article. You can put it down on a second sheet or on a cover sheet to send to Paul, and we'll negotiate it from there with those people or whatever the case is. But we need to know where the source comes from. Because for us to go barking at other people that use our stuff illegally or without permission, we got to make sure our house is cleaned up first before we can go out there and go after the people. And we are seriously clamping down on people that are using stuff out of the DX News and DX Audio service. We've gone after a few of them to make sure that they don't be borrowing stuff without giving us credit. So, Chris?
Are there any special books or special plans in, under consideration for the 60th anniversary, 1993?
No, none that I know of right offhand, but we will make a note of that. Good point. That's right, it's coming up quick, ain't it? More things that are...
Is out your...
Yeah, right. We're off to the... Fred, anything you want to add for audio service? Paul? Okay. When you send in your stuff, if you have a question on how to type it up for the DX News, you can drop Paul a line. He can now take it in 18 different ways just about on the... And for those that have got computers... you can get the format stuff, whether it's, it can be IBM or it can be on the Macintosh or Apple formats, and Paul can read them. The club now has a, or as you can tell from your DX News, nice quality printer. Stuff is coming out pretty good. Paul's doing a darn good job of getting that thing out. A lot of work goes into that, let me tell you. A lot of work goes into that. All right, appreciate you guys all coming, and have a good time.